This is Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. Stories out of that great fabric of visions, struggles, and accomplishments of the American past. Stories of our inheritance. Davy Crockett, soldier, statesman, pioneer, hunter. History claims he died defending the Alamo back in March of 1836. But some people will tell you different. They say that Davy was bigger than death. They say he's still alive and walks clean across the country every morning with a piece of the sunrise in his pocket. One thing we're sure of. He was born into poverty and hard times. And from these humble beginnings, he rose to be a man his neighbors saw fit to elect to the Congress of the United States. What was the young Davy Crockett like? How did he grow? These are his words on the subject.
Since I was elected to the Congress, the public has expressed some interest in my history. And for this reason, I have determined to lay before the world a narrative on which they can rely as being true. My father's name was John Crockett. He was of Irish descent. The name of my mother was Rebecca Hawkins. At the time of the marriage, they lived in Lincoln County in the state of North Carolina. But when they moved from there, they headed for that district of country which is now embraced in the East Division of Tennessee, though it was not then erected into a state. Nor did they have a road to follow, but an old buffalo trace winding down through the mountains.
Yee-haw! What are we stopping for, Pa?
We're seeking your mama travel further tonight. She probably will have to quit here. You'll be watering the oxen.
All right, Pa.
John, what are we stopping for?
How are you feeling, Becky?
Are we there, John?
I figure we can make it by sundown if we push on, or we can stay the night here, depending on how you feel.
I'd give anything I own to rest a spell. But I'll need your brother's wife soon. We better go on.
By sundown for sure.
Tell one of the boys to come stay with me, John. Time go easier with company to talk to.
Jacob.
What do you want, Pa?
Ride back here with your ma, son, and tend to her if she needs anything.
Yes, sir.
Sit up there on the tailboard and keep a lookout behind you as long as you're going to be riding.
All right, Pa.
Get on there! He's
scared, ain't he, Ma?
Why do you say that?
He's been pushing on powerful hard ever since we passed where that cabin was burned down.
What cabin?
Oh, it was while you was resting, I reckon. Burned to the ground 3 or 4 days ago. Pa looked at them tracks and said Indians done it. Cherokees or maybe Creeks. Couldn't tell which. You're sick, ain't you, Ma?
I'll be all right, Jacob. Don't you worry your head about that.
I wish we never done left Lincoln County myself.
Sometimes I do, too, son.
It's Pa always moving on for. Why can't we never stay put?
John Crockett has got it in the head to be a lone wolf. He's a wandering man, don't like neighbors. No offenses.
Ma.
Yes, son?
Is it going to be a little boy or a little girl?
I don't know. But it won't be long now before we'll be finding out.
The sun was sinking and the shadows fell long and dark down across the Tennessee hills when they finally come to rest that night.
Ma, wake up.
Are we there yet?
Jacob.
Yeah, Pa?
Go help your brothers unhitch the team, then gather some wood and get the fire going.
Yes, Pa.
Oh, too dark to go on, John?
We've come as far as we're going, Becky.
Well, then where's your brother, his wife?
We passed his cabin a mile or so back, or what was left of it.
Indians?
Not a soul left.
John Crockett, you promised that I wouldn't be alone. You promised there'd be help when I needed help. You promised.
Don't be quiet, woman. Think of the dead.
I was thinking of one that's got to be born.
The These were dangerous circumstances for a man to locate in. But there at the junction of two rivers where the limestone flows into the Nolichucky, my father built a cabin for his family. Soon after, in the year 1786, on the 17th of August, was born their fifth child.
He's near about the ugliest thing I've ever saw.
Why, Jacob, he's your brother.
Well, look at him. Face all scrunched up like a plain red as a love apple and screeching like a bobcat.
He's an uncommon fine squealer, all right.
I'm afraid he's marked to be a wild kind of boy. I hear the wolf howl all night long.
What you gonna call him, Becky?
I decided to give him the name of David. We call him Davy.
Davy Crockett. Got a good sound to it. I'm agreed.
The next move my father made was to Jefferson County, Tennessee. There he opened a tavern on the road from Abingdon to Knoxville. His tavern was on a small scale as he was poor, and the principal accommodations were for the wagoners who traveled the road. At night, after supper, they'd all congregate in the main room, and each one would try to outdo the other.
That reminds me of the time I killed that buffalo with my bare hand. You call that to mind, John?
Oh, sure. I remember it well.
I'd be willing to tell it, but it might scare the britches off of that boy there.
You can't scare me.
No, Davy, this story's so wicked it might stunt your growth.
I'll chance it, mister.
Well, as long as you're willing to take a chance. This here buffalo I'm telling you about was the great-granddaddy of all the buffaloes in the country. Near about the size of a barn. And fast, whew, he could outrun a streak of lightning. Took me 2 days running to catch up with him. But when I finally come up alongside of him, I clumb up onto his back and got my wind. And once I was my rip-roarious self again, I swung off in his back and grabbed him by the beard. He was a buckin' and a snorterin'. I was a buckin' and a snorterin'. We went at it eye, tooth, and toenail for just short of a week. We flattened out part of Pennsylvania and tore the top off a couple of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And neither of us given so much as a rip stave an inch. Push that tobacco pot over closer, boy. Finally, I started talking that there critter. Mr. Buffalo, I says, you're up against a tough nut to crack. I'm as mean as a snapping turtle, poisonous as a rattlesnake, and strong as an alligator. That don't scare you none. I can charm you to death like a Virginia gentleman. Well, sir, I tell you.
Well, what happened?
He killed me.
Oh, no, come on, mister, what happened?
Well, sir, tell the truth, I never to this day figured out whether I talked that buffalo to death or whether he knowed he was up against the catfish of all the waters and just plumb died of fright.
Well, I reckon I never told you about the time I got in a fight with two buffaloes.
Well, no, son, you never did.
Well, best I remember, it was one of them biling hot days last summer. And I seen these two critters, and I waited till they got up to me, and I grabbed the tail of the one, and then the tail of the other, and I tied them together and drove them home. And mister, I tamed them buffalo, and if anybody wants to see them, they is out there in the shed right this minute. Huh? Oh, yes, ma'am.
You come on to bed now. You're too young to sit up and listen to them men's lies.
I reckon you're right, Ma. There's some right ferocious liars around here tonight.
It was about this time that my father decided to send me to a little country school which was kept in the neighborhood. I'd been in attendance exactly 4 days when I had the most unfortunate thing happen.
Now, class, here's another sentence for you to copy. The lion is the king of beasts. Now, be very careful not to smudge your slates, because I'm going to Master Crockett, would you kindly come to the front of the room? You were whispering.
Yes, I was.
What were you whispering?
I was telling Jody Blackwell about the time Ben Ruffle's wife left the door open and a mountain lion come in and went after the baby. Well, Ben's wife taken up a red-hot poker went up to that lion and chased him out through the chimney.
Hold out your hand. That's for disturbing the rest of the class. That's for telling lies.
Well, that wasn't no lie.
That's for talking back to me.
Now, mister, don't you hit me again. I've done had enough. All right, mister. Now it's your turn.
When I come home that night, I could see that news of what had happened had already got there ahead of me. My father was standing in the door, and he had a hickory switch about 2 foot long in his hand.
All right, boy. You know what's got to be done.
Well, Pa, he said I was lying. I never told no lie.
It don't matter what he said nor what you said. What matters is that you got into a fight with a man who could have learned you up on science and writing and spelling. And you don't fight a man like that. You listen to him.
Well, he hit me first.
That don't make no difference. Now, let's get this over. Gonna hurt me worse than it will you.
Well, ain't gonna hurt me at all, Pa. I ain't gonna stand for no whipping.
What you mean is you ain't gonna sit for a long time because sitting is gonna be mighty uncomfortable.
You gotta catch me first, Pa. What?
I took out like a young steamboat, and Pa was right behind me. We had a tolerable tough race for about a mile, but as soon as I pulled far enough out of sight, I cut into the bushes and lost him. Night was falling, and since I didn't dare go home, the seriousness of my predicament begun to dawn on me. Seeing no other solution, I decided to sleep for the night there beside the road, which I did. The next morning, I set out for another part of the county, and come finally to Mr. Obadiah Wilson's place. He's a rich man, and I thought he might have a job for me. So I knocked on his door, and it was opened by the most beautiful girl I ever laid eyes on.
How do you do?
Howdy.
You looking for someone?
I was hoping to have a talk with Mr. Obadiah Wilson.
Well, he's away. I'm his niece, Alice, visiting from North Carolina. Can I help you?
Well, I'm looking for a job of work.
What kind of work do you do?
Well, any kind. I can handle animals easy, and I'm crack shot.
Well, I tell my uncle when he comes home. Who shall I say was here?
Mr. Davy Crockett.
All right, Mr. Crockett. In the meantime, if you'll go down to the creek and wash your face, I'll give you some breakfast.
I admire that. Something powerful.
And you might take off that coonskin cap. Looks as if it were left out in this rain all night.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Crockett.
Yes, ma'am.
Comb your hair, too.
Anything else, ma'am?
That will be all, Mr. Crockett. Run along.
She was such a sassy little thing and so pretty, I'd have been content to let her boss me around till Judgment Day. But her uncle come home, and since he didn't have any work for me, I kept on going. And again that night, I slept on the ground. Must have been about daylight when I woke up and heard a drove of cattle going by.
Hello!
Hello, yourself!
How far are you going, mister?
What's that to you, mister?
Fine. I might want to go with you.
Well, I'm aiming to get this herd to Baltimore one of these days. That's a powerful long hike for a little squirt like you.
Try me.
How much pay you want?
Well, how much you paying?
I'll let you know as soon as I've seen how much grit you got.
Huh? What you want me to do?
Follow along behind the herd. Look out for stragglers and Indians. If you lose any head of cattle, it's coming out of your pay at the end of the road. What do you say?
Let's go.
It's a long and rough road from Jefferson County, Tennessee, to Baltimore, Maryland. And don't help matters any if you got to jump off the path every 5 minutes to shoe back a calf or a frisky heifer. But occupied as I was, I got to look around a bit, and it opened my eyes to the size of the country and the number of people we passed on their way to settle the lands in the West. And once we reached Baltimore, I parted company with the drover I'd worked for promising to meet him that night for Mapei, and went to take a look around the city. Then and there, I decided to go to see. That night, I went to look for my friend, the drover, found him making merry at the tavern where he promised he'd be. I explained my resolve to go to sea and asked him for the money he owed me, which come to $6.
John, I'd like to oblige you, but I couldn't give you that money with a clear conscience till we get back to Tennessee.
Well, I ain't going back to Tennessee.
Well, you ain't going on no ocean either.
Well, that ain't for you to decide. Yeah. I contracted to do a job of work for you. I done it, and now I want what's due me.
Oh, stop bothering me, boy, before I decide not to give it to you at all.
Now, I'll tell you once, mister, and I won't say it again. I'll have my money.
Get out of here, boy. Stop pestering me.
I aim to get my money. Stop it! Hold it! Stop it!
Hey, bust my britches. Ain't you John Crockett's boy from Tennessee?
Yes, sir.
Thought I knowed you and saw you walk in. Tamed any buffalo since come by last?
I tamed a couple. You killed any more with your bare hands?
None to mention. What's the trouble here, Davy?
This fellow owes me $6.
What about that, sir?
He's got $6 coming, that's a fact. But I kept it back from him because he was planning to run away to sea with it.
Pay him his $6. I'll settle this seagone business with him myself. All right, Davy. Pick them up. Now, come over here and sit down and tell me what this is all about.
I told him all that had happened, and then he started talking about home. And pretty soon he talked me out of going to sea, and had me right near to bawling with homesickness to boot. The upshoot of it was, the next morning I set out for home. Once in a while I'd stop along the way and take a job and stay anywhere I took a shine to. But the closer I got to home, the more I thought about that hickory switch I'd seen my father with. So, in all, nearly 3 years went by before I got back to Jefferson County, Tennessee. When I come to my father's tavern, I stood outside. And through the window, I could hear the voices of my mother and my father and the visitor.
Crockett, I've come for my money. And this time I don't aim to sit and listen to no excuses. It ain't to my liking to work no hardship on you, but the time is long past when I should have been paid.
That I know well, Mr. Wilson, but you just can't squeeze blood from a turnip.
Well, what you say is true, but you can take the turnip.
See, maybe there's customers now. I tell you, I'll have your money in 3 months' time. Howdy.
Oh. Pa?
Step in the light here, sir. I don't rightly know who you be.
It's me, Pa.
Dave.
Oh, Ma.
Davy. Oh, Davy, Davy, we give you up for dead. 3 years and not one word from you. Where have you been?
Well, I traveled a far piece from here, but I couldn't stay away no longer. Pa, if you're still aiming to give me that whipping, I'd like to get it over with right now.
Son, I forget why I was going to whip you in the first place. In any ways, you growed so more like you whipping me.
Oh, you must be hungry, boy. Sit there at the table. I'll lay out some food. Son, you growed up. But you didn't grow out. Your skin is a beanpole. Didn't they feed you while you're there?
Sometimes, Ma.
Crockett, I'm glad you got your boy back, but we still ain't settled that little matter.
Pa, how much you in debt? I know about it. I was listening outside the window.
It's a powerful lot of money, Davy.
Uh-huh. How much?
$36.
Mister, I make you a proposition. How much is a good hand worth to you?
Well, shilling a day, if he's willing to work.
I'm willing.
We'll take 6 months or more to pay off $36.
I got 6 months or more.
Then there's interest.
That too.
You're a rotty-looking fella, and there ain't a speck of meat on your bones, but I'll tell you what I'll do. Come on over to my place, and I'll try it for a week. If I like your work, I'm agreeing.
That's all right with me. You got anything to say, Pa?
Son, the law is that a boy's got to work for his pa till he's 21. Now you work that note off for me, and you can have your freedom then, if any time you want it.
Thank you, Pa.
Well, we'll be getting along, eh?
Not just yet, you won't. This boy is going to get a good square meal first. Here, start out in that venison, Davy. And I'll have you some biscuits in just a minute. 'Tain't much, Mr. Wilson. But it's all we got in the house.
I come now to a part of my history I know I can never forget. I've heard people talk about hard loving, yet I reckon no poor devil in this world was ever cursed with such hard love as mine has always been when it come upon me. While I was working off the note from my father, the young lady from North Carolina came for another visit with my employer, Mr. Wilson, who was her uncle. She was about half as sassy and twice as pretty. I soon found myself head over heels in love with her and promptly found a way to bring myself in her company.
Tell me more about your travels, Mr. Crockett. Things you saw, places you went to.
Oh, I went to Natural Bridge one time and Front Royal in Virginia.
My.
Oh, I've traveled a heap and seen a mighty lot of things. West of here, the country's big, you know. Someday I aim to see some of that.
Then you want to be an explorer?
Why, I want to see what's out there. That's all. Miss Alice, would you mind if we didn't talk no more about my travels?
Well, if you'd rather not. Is there something else you wanted to talk about?
I reckon there was.
Go ahead, Mr. Crockett.
Well, in the first place, I wish you'd stop calling me Mister. Everybody else calls me Davy.
All right. Davy.
Miss Alice, there's something I've been craving to say to you from the minute I set eyes on you, but looks like every time I get close to you, my heart starts fluttering like a duck in a puddle.
Yes, Davy.
Miss Alice, I'm well nigh to busting my boilers for love of you. I hope I ain't offended you by speaking so plain, but I couldn't keep still no longer.
No, you haven't offended me. You've honored me, Davy Crockett, by feeling the way you do. But I'm promised.
Promised?
Promised in marriage to a cousin of mine back in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's studying to be a lawyer up in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, how many years does it take to learn to be a lawyer?
Well, he's been studying nearly 10 years.
Yeah. And with a head start like that, I don't reckon I'd ever catch up with him.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry myself. Miss Alice, I'll say goodbye to you now, and I wish you well.
This news to me was worse than war, pestilence, or famine. But when I saw quick enough my cake was dough, I tried to cool off as fast as possible. I begun now to think that all my misfortunes growed out of my want of learning, and I determined to swallow my pride and try to get some schooling.
Well, Master Crockett.
Yes, sir.
I must say I never expected to see you again. I heard you'd run away and been eaten by the Indians.
Well, sir, I've been going a right smart time now, and I come back to say I'm sorry.
Well, it's very admirable of you, Master Crockett.
I learned something in my travels, and that is that a man don't amount to much without learning. I've got a craving to know things. I want to learn reading and writing and spelling and the Bible. I want to know things and be able to talk to people.
Well, your fervor almost leads me to believe you're sincere.
Yes, sir. I mean what I say.
Well, you'll be considerably older than the others in your grade, but school starts the same time as when you left. You're welcome back.
But I can't.
I understood you wanted to come back to school.
Oh, I'd like to do that, sir, but you see, I got me a job of work, and I can't come except at night.
Oh, well, Davy, I've got a family my own to take care of. I've got my own chores to do when I get home in the evening.
I'll do them for you.
Very well, Davy. We'll work something out. I'll teach you all I know, and I wish it were more. The country's growing, Davy. It needs men who know things. Strong men. Intelligent men. Men to lead. You could become one of them. Who knows?
28th day of January, in the year of our Lord, 1834, I'm a member of the Congress. I am at liberty to vote as my conscience and judgment dictates to be right, without the yoke of any party on me or any driver at my heels. I am, as I will always strive to be, the people's faithful representative and the public's most obedient, very humble servant, Davy Crockett.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from a past national commander of the Legion, Mr. Frank N. Belgrano. Mr. Belgrano.
The political system of representative government and the economic system of free enterprise are important in the proud inheritance of Americans. Combating as we do today the insidious methods of those who would replace these systems with political totalitarianism and the monster of state-controlled economy of communism, we examine our years of history. We review the accomplishments of our past. We scrutinize our present. This examination rewards us with a grateful discovery. Ours was and is today a country of political and religious freedoms, a land of material wealth, a place of ever-increasing opportunity for the individual. The American Legion has always realized that full employment is one of the most important factors in our system of free enterprise. As early as 1921 and 1922, when this country was suffering from the difficult transition of war to peacetime economy, the Legion converted posts throughout the country into employment bureaus. 700,000 veterans were placed in jobs as a result of that single employment effort. In 1948, the Legion's National Employment Committee, on the basis of extensive research, launched an exciting experiment in community development in the town of Burnett, Texas. Burnett, a town of only 2,000 inhabitants, under Legion direction, in a period of less than 1 year, succeeded in establishing 58 new business enterprises, thereby creating 325 new jobs. This pilot town, which used a plan based on a philosophy of self-help, has become a pattern for similar developments in as many as 20 states. The American Legion believes that the spirit of individual initiative and cooperative teamwork manifested in these dramatic projects is the very essence of our American inheritance.
Thank you, Mr. Belgrano. Next week, Inheritance will again take you on a journey through the pages of American history. Today's story about the young Davy Crockett was written by Earl Hamner. Featured in the cast were Carl Swanson as the elder Davy Crockett, William Redfield as the younger Davy. Others in the cast were Jane Webb, Virginia Payne, Ken Williams, Cameron Andrews, Joe Boland, and Bill Griffiths. Music composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. Inheritance was produced by Wade Arnold, directed by Ed King.
Tonight, hear Meet the Press on the NBC Radio Network.